Welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and as the Drop-In CEO, I drop into businesses and assume the CEO role to enhance the human element and increase the results they achieve. This podcast is about bringing you conversations with expert guests who have achieved their greatest results built on a strong foundation of purpose, values, and elevating people. If you're a business leader, entrepreneur, or even just getting started in business, join us as we build the skills you need to achieve your goals. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and I'm so excited to introduce to you today Scott Chaplin. Scott is an executive commercial leader in the flavor and fragrance industry with over 30 years' experience. His business, SMCM Consulting, is a privately held management company firm that focuses on business support to the flavor, fragrance, and ingredient industries with emphasis on F&F CPG companies to the food, beverage, confection, dairy, pharma, nutraceutical, cosmetic, and food service industries. His company specializes in increasing sales, profits, new product introductions, category expansion, distribution, and operational efficiencies, as well as merger and acquisitions, and providing strategic partnerships with companies in North America and global markets. He is active with a number of top-tier global and mid-level companies in the U.S. and abroad, and Scott has worked for Mon, Sensient Technologies, IFF, and Givaudan. He also has held and does hold various board positions. He's an IFT member and past FEMA member. Scott, welcome to the show. I am excited to have this conversation with you.
Well, hello, Deb, and thank you for the intro. That's a lot of stuff there. I didn't realize I was doing all that stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, but you know, anybody that does business with you, a tremendous amount of experience. And I do have a quick shout out to Dave Hossie. He is responsible for introducing myself to Scott. Scott is a great human. And while he has a tremendous amount of experience, you'll find during this conversation, he's extremely easy to talk to. And he brings forth his experience, but really that combination of that trust, that listening skill, he truly is able to bring companies to achieve the results. So let's just get going here, Scott.
Thanks, Deb.
So you have had such an amazing business journey. I was wondering if you could just share a little bit of that with the listeners and any insights you've gained along the way during your amazing career.
I'm kind of blessed and really proud to work with some exceptional companies. I started my career with Givaudan, and then I moved to IFF, where I spent most of my career. And they gave me some fantastic opportunities to grow as a person and also from a business professional standpoint. Interesting enough, I started on the fragrance side of the business and then started moving over to the flavored ingredient side in the latter part of my career, which I still remain active in all three. So it's somewhat rare to find somebody in the F&F space who has experience in all three areas and knows all three areas. I wouldn't say I'm an expert at any one of those, but I have really good background and experience in flavors, fragrances, and ingredients. I guess I'm really proud of my time to grow there and meeting the people that I work with around the globe. And in global business development, it's really fantastic to work with different peoples with languages and cultures and foods and tastes and scents. And it was just a fantastic experience.
You know, you talk about something interesting. We talk about our expertise and their target clients, but sometimes the difference in culture can make a difference on how you present a strategy, present a proposal. What are your experiences in cultural differences? Is there anything that stands out to you?
You know, it's really interesting. I think the two things that stand out to me in the flavor and fragrance world is on the fragrance side, for example, we were doing a citrus project for China. And so we were submitting these lemons. They said we wanted a nice lemon note. And we sent these lemons. They said, oh, we don't like these lemons. These aren't very good lemons. I'm like, we think these are excellent lemons. And then they said, well, these aren't even lemons. And they said, well, what's lemon to you? And they sent us a sample of their lemons. Well, that's not even a lemon. It's something else completely. So you learn those things. And then the other thing I found out is, for example, most of the world loves lavender. They love citrus products. But for some reason in the U.S., we love fruity, sweet, vanilla things. So when you present vanilla to Europe or Latin America, they go, oh, this is really sweet. When you present lavender, it's very fresh and clean. So different cultures really have an appreciation for very different types of scents and tastes as they're brought up in their environment that they're used to, that they're exposed to.
You know, that brings up a really interesting point. And if you're listening, the fragrance, the flavors industries are exceptionally interesting, creative. They're highly emotional industries because, to Scott's point, cultural differences, the way that you're brought up and how you see the world, can create a great experience, or in some cases, this isn't exactly what I expect to be a lemon. So it's so important in business to really, really understand your audience, their culture, their past, because sometimes we miss that ingredient in how we position something to them.
You know, and this goes back to something we talked about before, and this was about asking the right questions and really understanding what your customers need and what's important to them, no matter who that customer is. So, and I think we talked about interviews where I'm interviewing someone for a position. Towards the end, I'll ask them for questions of me or the company or whoever I'm representing. And to me, the questions that that person asks is really important because it shows what they're interested in. So to me, asking the right questions and being a good listener is sometimes much better than being a fantastic orator or speaker. So to me, it's just one of the things that I've always thrived on.
You know, this is the first time I've ever heard something like that. So we often talk as leaders in business, it's better to listen and ask thought-provoking questions to get the best out of your team and get your team to think. But what Scott has just proposed is something a little bit different. Position your client to ask certain questions, and based on listening or asking them to ask what is important to them and reversing it, you get even more information so you can position the best solution for them. That is amazing insight there.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like I have a lot of people contact me for consulting and they'll say, well, you know, where can you help us? I'll sometimes flip the switch and I'll say, I can do these things, but where do you really need help? And what do you want me to help you with? And then just let them talk, very open-ended questions. And then when you hear what they exactly need, then you can kind of interject and say, yeah, I can help you here, but I can't do this. I would bring another consultant in for this area, or I'd bring in another group for this, for that, what you need help on, or I can't help you there. So it's just really where I add value to companies in my consulting practice.
What's also very interesting about your background, you've come up in, you know, the commercial, sales, business development, et cetera. But one of the things in your highlights is that you also focus on operational efficiencies. It is a very rare breed that where somebody who comes in from your angle in the commercial space also plays in the space of operational efficiencies. I would love to know how you've come into that and how have you actually helped organizations?
Well, you know, interesting enough, working with my friend Dave Hossie, who referred to earlier in the program, Dave was one of those great people to work with on the ops side. And it was just a pleasure to work with him. And I learned so much from Dave. And what I really learned was is that operational and supply chain people have just as many objectives as salespeople do. I mean, they do. They have to worry about cost and factoring costs and cost savings and how to make things faster and better. And so it's important to me to look at the whole supply chain when I'm doing pricing analysis for people and say they can be competitive or not. So when I understand their process and how they're getting there, is that maybe there's a way to get there faster, cheaper, or maybe they're already doing it that way. Maybe they have technology that gives them an advantage in the marketplace. So operational cost is actually a really important factor in the whole business development plan and the whole commercialization of products and marketing. And Dave Hossie was an inspiration in that space because he was the one who made me really understand it. When I was running IFF Express, which was really about automation and efficiencies, Dave was an integral part of that. How to use automation, how to use robotics, how to really do things much faster, much more cost-effectively from a company standpoint, and use technology to do it.
You know, what's really amazing about that, and my personal experience, I work also in the flavor space. You know, you can have a well-positioned product to meet a customer's needs, but if the operations can't execute on that, then you really are put in a difficult position with your customer. And I have found the truly best leaders have actually, in your space, the commercial, the strategic development, actually go to the operations and understand and see what they're doing. And when you have a holistic picture and work together to service the customer, operations and sales, it's really a beautiful thing because at the end of the day, you hate to be answering the phone call with your customer saying, I can't get my product. And then you have to get involved, but rather to move forward together with the operation. So I love what you bring to the table. So you've had so much experience, and I know it's not always easy, but I'd love to hear a story where maybe you were dropped into a situation trying to serve as a client, and they were really at a difficult point or maybe in crisis, or you had to move them through a difficult challenge of theirs.
To me, it's just really understanding the path forward. You know, what's the goal and the objective that people are trying to achieve? And then what do we need to do to get there? I've just had a phone call today with a consulting perfumer who's working with me on a project. And we're trying to map out the project and the timing and the cost guidelines. And the whole idea, like, let's focus on what's really important to the customer. Let's break this down in different buckets. Let's put, you know, the most important things to the customers up front. That's what we're going to focus on. And then the other things we can address later on. So because not everybody has a bucket load of money that they can throw out at projects. So sometimes it's better to break things down into stages and to certain categories and say, what do we need today? And then what would be really nice to have later on? So what do I desire and have to have? And then what can I look at later on to build the database or the points of data, the information, the features and benefits that I'm trying to promote to my customers with this project?
You know, there's two things I'd love to just recap there. And I actually can relate to one of the things you said. Sometimes just helping the client or customer really understand what is the future state, because it can be overwhelming for them. All they do is they feel the symptom, they feel the problem. And I worked with one quality professional that says, I just want to cut down the number of customer complaints. But at the end of the day, what was it really that he wanted to do? He wanted to serve them in a better way, in a proactive way on partnerships rather than dealing on complaint management. And so once we painted the landscape of what it was that the client really wanted to achieve, then you can move forward together. So I appreciate going to a place of clarity first when you start working with a customer.
You know, and that scenario actually brings me to an area that we would address as two of my past employers that were excellent companies that we as a team, as our groups, were super at solving problems. And when we had a problem, we would go at that problem, we would attack it, we would fix it, we would even make things better. So we were a very reactive company, or companies, and from a corporate level. But what we didn't do a very good job was is being proactive. Like, how do I change my operational things where I don't have complaints, you know, where I service the customer better in all aspects? You know, what programs do I implement now and not wait for someone to complain that they didn't get their product on time, or they didn't like the creative process, or they didn't like the sample submitted, or there's something wrong with it? How to be more proactive. And I think that's something that businesses really lack. In many cases, that we're very good at reacting, but we're not as good as being proactive.
You know, you are a unique breed, because as soon as you started talking about being proactive, you were singing to the choir. So myself as a quality and process improvement professional, it's not about how many times did we high five and get through the crisis or the issue of the day, but how much time do we actually spend on, well, what is the root cause of us not getting that client? Did we not meet their sales at targets? Or how do we avoid that next non-conformance or product recall, which is something you and I would absolutely hate in the industry? So again, yeah. You know, I would ask my listeners, when you do the work or your entrepreneurial ventures, how much time are you spending in your business and reacting versus sitting and thinking, what can I do now to bring myself forward to a place of being proactive versus reactive? It's going to pay dividends in the end.
Yeah, it really does. And I think the issue that a lot of companies face, it's so on big companies, is that how much does this cost me? You know, where do I put my money? I know I have a problem now, I have to solve it, so let's just put the money and let's put the effort into that, because time and effort and resources is money to people. But how much effort do I really put into the proactive? You know, like making sure this problem, how much do I put into being proactive and really solving my efficiency problem or my quality problem or my creative problem? You know, what do I need to do to address that? And a lot of people just don't take that extra step. It's the really good companies who do that.
You know, I teach in some of my continuous improvement training or how to help professionals. Well, I don't care if they're in customer service, quality, operations, supply chain. You can present data and information to try to get a result. But unless you can qualify it in terms of risk of not doing it and what is the impact if the planets line up and something does go wrong, our professionals today don't know how to articulate it. And it's hard. But I will tell you, as soon as you can figure out how to translate it, a risk or opportunity, opportunity and impact, and then put it in the framework of dollars and cents, you're golden. You can start making change.
Yeah. You know, and the other thing too, Deb, is that I'm somewhat of an optimist. So when I look at the glass, it's half full, not half empty when I look at things. I try to look at things when positive. I remember being in a meeting with someone once and they said, well, we just got back the data and it's not as nice, as good as we liked it. And I said, okay, so what are we missing? And then we said, well, these things didn't come up as high as we would like. I said, yeah, but the other stuff is really good. So my point is, some people look at it and say, I didn't hit a home run there, but guess what? I hit a triple and I'm on third base and I'm just trying to get the home plate. So don't discredit the stuff you've done. It's pretty good. It might not be perfect. It might not be the best, but it's pretty good. It might be pretty good. So look at things from a positive standpoint. I try to tell people on my teams to look at things that way.
So you've had a great career, but you know, we grow through sometimes challenges. Have you ever had a pivotal moment in your career where through that time or that event, you gain some piece of wisdom and you share it with others so they can benefit from what you've learned?
Yeah, I think one of the pivotal moments for me in consulting was when I was approached by a major company and they said, we've got this operational issue and we need your help on it. And they gave me the project and I looked at it and I went, are you sure you don't want an engineer? And they said, no, we can find as many engineers, and we have plenty of engineers in our company, but what we need is a business perspective on this. We want to look at this from a business standpoint. We need to look at this from a revenue and profit standpoint. So take a business approach on this project and don't look as if I need more capital or need more equipment or I need new technology. Look at this as a business opportunity. And that's the way they wanted me to look at it, which I thought was very unique and I thought was very progressive. So that was the pivotal point to me of saying that my skills are not just on the sales side or marketing side. It's also on the whole business commercial opportunity. And that was kind of my pivotal moment that I could do those things. And actually, it was a really good project. And it ended up being is that they had to make some major changes in their operations and they had to make some changes in their commercial approach in the marketplace. And they did do those things.
You know, when I have these conversations with my guests, such as yourself, and I, as an up and coming business owner and leader myself, you know, I can talk about myself as I'm a quality and operational excellence food safety consultant. And that speaks to my technical talents, yours in the area of commercial and business development. But, you know, you remind me about it is my business. And so when I make decisions, think about them in the mindset of what is it going to do for my business? And when I think about trying to solve the customer's goals, what is this going to do for his business? Is it going to increase market share? Is he going to get more sales? Is he going to reduce his operating expenses? And starting from a place of business, because ultimately that's where all the major decisions are made, you have better understanding about how to serve the client and who to bring in, such as the engineers, to solve that problem. So great insight, Scott.
Yeah, I think it goes both ways. I love to tell the story about the Tabasco company. And I'm not sure it's a true story, an anecdotal story, but someone once told me in a conversation that Tabasco for many years was trying to figure out ways to increase their business by doing tie-ins and associations with marketing areas and different industries, different companies, but they never could seem to get really accelerated growth. So they're in a big meeting one day with top executives in the organization. They said, you know, we've tried all these different campaigns. Nothing's really worked. We're getting, you know, 5, 10, 15% bumps and increases in sales, but nothing long-term. And then an engineer said one day, he said, I can increase sales 20%. And the guy, and all the commercial people are like looking at him like, you're an engineer. What are you going to do? And the guy said, trust me. So what the engineer did was he implemented a program. He actually made the opening bigger on the bottle of Tabasco sauce. So when people were pouring it out, they actually would pour out more. They'd use more product. And they increased 20% like the next year. So to me, don't dismiss other people's insights and their suggestions and ideas of how to address a challenge or an opportunity. So it's an amazing story. If it's true or not, it's just fantastic.
You know, I may have heard that same story, but again, I think I heard around toothpaste. How do you increase sales in toothpaste? Open up the...
But you only put so much toothpaste on the brush of your mouth, so I don't really know how that works. But Tabasco, I thought it was a pretty amazing story. But yeah, that's the same scenario. So then I noticed that in 2008, when we were having a problem with like pricing to the consumers in the packaging area, that some yogurt companies weren't quite filling the bottles. They were 4-ounce yogurts and they made them 3.4 ounce. It was the same package. It was the package didn't change, but the inside was indented. So it wasn't completely round at the bottom. It was pushed up a little bit. So it looked the same size, but there wasn't as much product in there. So they were selling the same price, but less product. So it's really ingenious products in terms of presentations, how to solve problems with consumers that people have.
Yeah, I'm going to start looking at the bottom of yogurt containers just to see that in practice. Yeah, that's amazing. You know, you remind me, I'm constantly in brainstorming with people. And when I go into brainstorming sessions, even though sometimes people like to cut it short and say, okay, let's move to action, I like to spend a little extra time in discovery, because I find through some of my process improvement projects, if you wait a little bit and ask one more question, that quiet person in the corner of the room, your engineer, comes up with a crazy idea. And so often they say, no, that won't make sense. But wait, pause, consider it, because there may be something that results in 20% revenue growth. I love that story. So you've been providing tremendous insight along the way here in your career, and I love this conversation, but I always also like to understand a little bit more about you. Again, tremendous talent, but who has inspired you during your career? I'd love to know a little bit more about that.
I think it's been some of my commercial managers that really have been doing the inspiration. You know, when you work in big corporations, it's not only the ability to sell your ideas and to move things forward and be productive, it's also, I'd say, managing the political landmines within companies and corporations. I will say this up front, is that I love working for big companies. I love the team approach. I love working with all the multifaceted. What I didn't like about companies was all the politics and the power grabs and the position. So that's the stuff that I did not enjoy in corporate life. And what I like about consulting is that I'm sheltered from that. I'm not involved immensely on a day-to-day basis. I do get involved sometimes a little bit here and there, and I'm an advisor. But I'm not in the day-to-day grind of all that. And that's one of the things that I do enjoy about consulting that I didn't think I would enjoy as much. My mentor was always very good from a political standpoint in terms of navigating the different personalities, the different objectives, and managing a team. He was just an excellent really team manager and a really good inspiration. And so those are the ones that I would pick the golden nuggets from them in terms of their style and their approach and try to blend into my style and the way I would work in the future.
You know, you bring up a memory for me as well. I, first of all, am grateful. IFF, Givaudan, I've also worked for some of these great companies. And it's the best learning ground as you're coming up in your career, because you actually have to be forced in to learn some of these skills. And I used to think just doing good work and meeting objectives is how you get ahead. And that's part of it, and that's necessary. But I have learned later, it is about connecting with humans, connecting with stakeholders, having conversations, understanding, prepping people before you propose something, just to make sure that you have alignment and maybe you can enrich the idea. So by the time you arrive, you're not sideswiped. But I will tell you, those lessons learned from big business, and they are important, are helpful. So when you go into consultancy, just remember that it is about alignment, consensus, making sure you understand people, you know, stakeholder engagement, still very valuable, but on a smaller scale.
And Deb, one thing that's really important in that list that you were just talking about is trust, is really gaining people's trust and confidence. That number one is that they can confide in you, they can expect you to help them to achieve their goals, and also that you can deliver on what you say you're going to do, or you're at least honest with them. So trust is really important in that whole equation. If you ever read the book about the functional teams, I mean, it's really all about trust.
Yeah, you know, that is something they don't talk in performance reviews about trust, but I would challenge anybody that's listening. Do the people that you work directly with trust you, and do you trust them?
Yeah.
Do the teams that interface, do they trust each other? And I will tell you, if you have the courage to have those open conversations about what's not working, do we have trust or don't we? And if you can break through those barriers, beautiful things happen. But it's a hard place because people don't like to go there. And sometimes it's misconceptions. We simply don't understand the culture, their past. And if you can break through that, trust is a beautiful thing to move organizations forward.
You know, when talking about like personnel reviews, I just remember when IFF, we became like big and very, very corporate. And we have very formal HR reviews with personal reviews with each of our, you know, support, you know, each of the people who work for us. And they were two or three pages long, lots of questions, lots of check things. And then I went to a company I was working with, and they had three questions they asked on their personal review. Three questions is their personal review. It says, what should you continue doing? What you should start doing, and what you should stop doing. Those were the three things. The three basic things. I said, boy, that just sums up three areas really nice and simple. Basically, you submitted your evaluation based on those criteria, and you also let the other person in the 360, you know, respond to what they should do, what they should be start, stop, and continue doing. So I just thought that it just makes things so much simpler and faster to me. And that's, I'm all about speed, efficiency, and productivity.
You know, this conversation could probably go on for like another hour here, but I will tell you that is simplicity at its best. I had somebody for the first time in my last company say, what should I start, stop, and continue? And there was so much wisdom in that. And if you can distill it down, they are actionable. What do I continue? I'll keep doing that. And I'll tell you, because I have three mentors, I recently asked those exact same questions, and the insight and actions I could take from it were amazing. Start, stop, continue. Remember it. Everybody should practice this.
Yeah, it's a really good thing. It's just very so simple. It's just so simple and easy to do.
So we could go on and on about so many things about your career background or anything that you would want to share with people, insights, inspiration, but we'll just take a couple minutes here. Is there anything else that we maybe haven't talked about that we got to get out here because you've got so much to share with people?
I think one thing that's very timely that we should talk about is just like what's happening in the world today with COVID-19. And I know there's a lot of companies out there that are worried, and there's a lot of companies that are struggling. And I've, like I said earlier, I've been very blessed and happy to have worked for some great companies. And so I've got a good financial support. So from in these times, I'm not sure how many listeners you're going to have or if this thing will go viral, but I would be more than welcome to work with anybody on a free consulting basis, you know, for anything that they want to talk about or concerned about. It doesn't have to be COVID related. It just could be from a timing standpoint. There may be things that change in the supply chain for people. Maybe things have changed in human capital because all of a sudden there's a lot of people unemployed now. So there's a lot of people on the pool and people are going to be rehired. Maybe there's cash flow projections that people have that they're concerned about. How do I manage my cash flow or my inventories? So these are things that you know, we could help them with in insights. And I would be more than glad to help people at this time to offer them, give them some free consulting with. Because to me, in my consulting role now, it's more about helping people and then it is the money. Because to me, this is the same reason that I didn't become a doctor when I was in college. I was a pre-med student. And I said, why do I want to be a doctor? I said, well, I want to be a doctor because they make a lot of money. And I said, that's not a good reason to be a doctor. You want to be a doctor because you can help people. And if you help people, you'll make a lot of money. Same thing, scenario looking at now. If I help people to, you know, do better, then maybe I'll make money, you know, or I'll make some more money. So if I'm successful, they're successful. So that's my consulting approach to a lot of companies.
You know, I'm grateful for bringing this conversation to others. I knew when I first met Scott that he is a giving person. He wants to help others. And so, you know, this gesture now and at other times, simply sharing your knowledge and having a conversation on how you're helpful is a beautiful thing. Humanity, a lot of people are doing that, but you'll get a lot of value when you talk to Scott. So thank you for a fantastic conversation. Before we close here, how best for people to connect with you and have those conversations with you?
Probably the best way to reach me is look for me on LinkedIn. I'm there, Scott Chaplin. You can just link me in and I'm connected there. I do a lot of connecting on LinkedIn. I think I've got almost 3,000 connections on LinkedIn over the last years. I was one of the early adopters of it when I left IFF. Or you can look at my website. It'll tell you a little bit about some of the companies I work with. I think it's fairly updated. There's about maybe 4 or 5 companies I'm working with today that are not listed on there. Some people don't like that I list them, but it's just an icon. Just some of these companies I've worked with in the past and currently working with today. I'm an open book. So I try to be transparent. I try to help people. And then I can help you make money, save money, you know, be more efficient in my consulting practice, then we all win. And that's the kind of the basis premise that I work with.
Thank you, Scott. Fantastic conversation. Anybody would be lucky to know you and work with you. I'm grateful for knowing you as well. So thank you for being on the show. Wish you well. And this has been a great conversation.
Thanks, Deb. I really appreciate your time and your interest and good luck. And basically, there might be some consulting projects we could work on in the future.
All right. Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I hope you are inspired by our conversation and can apply what you heard to your business or career goals. For more information about our consulting or coaching services, please visit my website at dropinceo.com or visit our Drop-In CEO Facebook group to continue the conversation. Now go out, lead, inspire, and achieve your goals.